This morning we're going to be talking about deacons, and we had a deacons meeting a few weeks back, and we discussed getting the deacon elections going, so we're doing this because we want to get started on deacon elections, and we're going to start that today. But we want to go through again and discuss what it is to be a deacon, why deacons are called, what is their role, what are the qualifications of deacons. And so we're going to be jumping out of the reading plan. Yes, we have a reading plan. I hope you've been in it. We've been in the Old Testament together. It's been really good. But we're going to jump out of that just for this Sunday. And we're going to go over and look at 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, and also Acts chapter 6. We're going to start with Acts chapter 6 and go to 1 Timothy. But there's some really important things that we look at about deacons and why we have deacons in the church. And we want to make sure that before we have deacon elections, and before we start nominating people for this role, that we understand why we have deacons and those qualifications that are required to be a deacon. So I'm going to read through these passages. I'm going to read through both of them. They're rather long, and so if you want to stand, you can. If you'd like to remain seated, that's okay. But I'm going to read through these passages, and you can see what God is telling us about deacons. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7 says this. It says, "In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, 'It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Phorcaris, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith." Now we're going to jump over to 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. These are Paul's instructions to Timothy on how to select, what to look for in a deacon. 1 Timothy 3, 8 says, "Deacons likewise should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives likewise should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Father, we thank you for this time that we have together this morning. Lord, we come before you humbly because we want to do things your way and do things the way your word tells us to do it. Father, I ask that as we study your word this morning that you will speak to us, that you will call for us to live righteously before you in everything that we do, everything that we say. Lord, I ask that you'll bless our church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we're getting into this discussion on deacons, I want to start off by saying this. As we go through and we look at these qualifications for deacons, I want you to notice that really these qualifications are the standard, the basics for most Christians. These standards that we see are to be trustworthy, to be faithful, to be people who put Jesus first. And so these qualifications that we read, as we are saying these deacons need to have this and demonstrate these qualities, these things are also for all of us. So it's not just to say, hey, we don't have to listen today because this is only referring to deacons. No, there are things here that we as God's people, if we aren't deacons, there are things that we need to do also that are in obedience to God, and this is demonstrating a baseline of who God has called us to be. So I want to get into why deacons. Why deacons? Why do we have deacons in the church? Well, when we go to Acts chapter 6, we notice that there's an issue going on. We just read about the issue, and here's what's going on. In the church in Jerusalem, there is a problem, and the problem is that some of the widows are being overlooked. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, the issue is this is probably happening somewhere between 4 and 5 years after the day of Pentecost. Remember the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit comes, he has flames of fire on top of all of the believers that are there, and the church of God begins to grow like crazy. Well, fast forward 4 to 5 years, this is what most scholars agree on, this is where we think we are, and we're getting to this point where there are two groups of believers in the church at Jerusalem. This is before the gospel is being spread out to the nations. The gospel is mostly being transferred and shared right here in Jerusalem and in Israel. But we have Jews that have grown up in Jerusalem that are called the Hebraic Jews. That's why we see the word Hebraic Jews here. And then we also have the Hellenistic Jews. If you know history, Hellenism is the spread of Greek culture around the world because of Alexander the Great. And so you have these Jews that have returned from the nations that are Greek influence, that have returned to Israel, and they are in the church at Jerusalem also. Now, when we look at the history of this, the other issue going on is that the Hellenistic Jews, when they came back and were worshiping in synagogues, as Jews do, the Hellenistic Jews had their own synagogues. And then the Hebraic Jews had their own synagogues. So even within the nation of Israel, there is a separation. There is not unity of the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews worshiping together as Jews. And so now we fast forward a little bit to the first Christian church in Jerusalem. You want to call it a Baptist church, you can, but the first Christian church in Jerusalem. And there is a problem. There is division. We have the Hellenistic Christian Jews over here, and you have the Hebraic Christian Jews over here. And there is a problem because the church is taking care of the widows and the orphans. They're giving out a food distribution every day. And the Hellenistic Jews have a problem because they say, hey, you Hebraic Jews are overlooking our widows and not taking care of them the way that you should be. There's a lot of issues and conflict going on right here with the church in Jerusalem. So that's where we pick up. Acts chapter 6, there's this problem. What are they going to do about it? Now, who are the ones that are leading this? Well, it's the 12. It's the apostles. If you look at verse 2, the 12 apostles are here. Remember, there's the 11, and then they elected one. And so they are there in the church of Jerusalem, and they know that their job is to teach and preach God's word and to devote themselves to prayer. So that's what the 12 apostles are called to do. That is their job. But they know that they can't do everything. We know that on the first day of Pentecost, the church in Jerusalem grew to like 3,000 people. Who knows? We don't know the exact number that are here, but it is lots and lots of people at the church in Jerusalem. And the apostles need some help. And so what they do is they come to the brothers and sisters in verse 3, and they say this, "Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So the reason for deacons is twofold. One, it's to assist in the ministry and to help make sure that what is going on in the church is building up and not tearing down. They do this so that the apostles can teach and they can devote themselves to prayer. And the deacons, this is a physical service job that they are taking on. They are literally handing food out. They are distributing food. They are helping the widows in their needs. They are helping the orphans in their needs. So this is a hands-on ministry that the deacons are going to then do. And again, this is to free up the apostles so they can focus on teaching and preaching God's word and devoting themselves to prayer. They do this. They select among themselves 7 men of good reputation. We see the 7 names listed there. But I want to look at verse 7 for just a second. And this whole reason for doing it, they do this because the apostles know they need to focus on preaching and teaching and praying. They know that there is a need, a physical need that needs to be done. And they do this because they know they need to promote the gospel and see the gospel spread. And notice the result. Notice the result that happens in verse 7. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and the large group of priests became obedient to the faith. I don't want to focus too much on one of these about the numbers increasing too much, because sometimes in our churches we focus too much on numbers. That's a good thing, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing, though, is the first thing that is said, and that the gospel spread, and that people are hearing the gospel and they are learning what the gospel is. They are learning what Jesus did on the cross. They are repenting of their sins. They are coming to faith in Christ. Yes, the numbers are good, but they're also growing deeply in their faith. The word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and even more so, a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. The priests of God in Jerusalem, who are offering sacrifices on a daily basis, who are called by God to serve Him, they now understand the truth of God's word. They see that the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, points to Jesus, and they are now worshiping Jesus, and they used to be priests in the temple. God is moving mightily in His church, and notice it's because they are getting themselves organized and doing things in a way that is promoting the gospel. See, deacons and the job that they do help to promote the gospel in the service that they do, in the ministry that they do. They also help the pastor to do service, to help, to teach, to do all the things. They are an assistant, a helper, a huge helper to the pastor. And so deacons are highly important in the body of the church. So why deacons? We just discussed that, the reason for deacons. But I want to go now to the qualifications. We've discussed this a few months back, but I want to go through these briefly, the qualifications for deacons. We have a few coming out of Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we saw that they needed to be men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. As we think through electing deacons and nominating deacons, when we nominate men, we need to make sure that we are thinking through, are these men of good reputation within the church? Are these men that are full of the Spirit, who have demonstrated that they love God, that they have grown in the faith, they're full of the Spirit of God? Do they demonstrate that they have wisdom? They think about the problems. They take those problems to the Lord. They let the Lord lead them. They don't have their own human wisdom, but this is implying that they have God's wisdom. These are the kind of men that we need to select as deacons within our church. But again, these are things that also apply to us who are not deacons. We need to be men and women of good reputation. We need to have a reputation of we follow after God and we do what He's called us to do. We need to be full of the Spirit. We need to be growing in our faith. We need to let God work through us. When we have an issue, we go to God and we listen to Him and let His Spirit work in us. And we need to be full of wisdom. We need to have God's wisdom working in us and through us so that when we give an answer or we do something, we are demonstrating that God is the one doing it, not us. We also have to have these qualifications as God's people. When we jump over to 1 Timothy, though, it gives us some more detailed considerations. These things are coming from Paul to Timothy. He says, make sure that these deacons, when you elect them, your church elects them, they need to be worthy of respect, which kind of goes back to the acts of men of good reputation, not hypocritical. They don't need to be drinking a lot of wine. They don't need to be greedy for money. They need to be holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, they're not begrudgingly sharing the gospel. In other words, they believe the word of God completely. They are sharing the word of God with a clear conscience. They know that it is true. They've been tested. They've gone through things. They are blameless in that testing. They came out on the other side of the testing, giving glory to God. They didn't fail in their ministry. When we look at the faithful wife, this could be that the wives of the deacons are to be this way. They need to be faithful wives. This could also be discussing some of the women in the church who are helping lead women's ministries and teaching children. That's what this could also be addressing. Either way, the husband needs to have a wife who is faithful. He needs to be the husband of one wife. Now, I believe when we look at what the Apostle Paul teaches us about divorce, what the Bible teaches about when a husband or a wife dies, the other person who remains is free to remarry. I think that we have to take those things into consideration here. And I think also the polygamy of the day. Remember, there's a huge problem with polygamy during this time where churches in, for example, Corinth and other places around the Mediterranean, having multiple wives was the normal thing. And so Paul is telling them, hey, you need to make sure you are married to one woman, not more than one. So all these things come into play. And then finally, they manage their household well. In other words, they are walking in the Lord and they are teaching their families how to walk in the Lord. You see, when we are teaching our families how to walk in the Lord, we are making other disciples also. I've heard so many stories of pastors and missionary kids. I grew up as a pastor's kid and a missionary kid, and I know of so many examples just from the ones that I knew growing up overseas and the pastor's kids that I knew in the States as I was growing up with them. There are many who they saw something different at home than what they saw on Sunday morning, and they have left the faith. I know the same thing with deacons' kids. There have been deacons' kids that I grew up with in churches. They saw something different at home than what they saw on Sunday morning, and they have left the faith. It is vitally important for our deacons, our leaders of our church, to be the same person on Sunday morning that they are throughout the week, that they love Jesus and they demonstrate their love for Jesus throughout the week, just as they demonstrate their love for Jesus on Sunday. Remember, our relationship with Jesus Christ is not just a Sunday morning relationship. It is a relationship that we have with Him every single day of every week. Church family, when we are thinking through selecting men to serve in the role of deacon, we have to keep these things in mind, but we also have to remember that God has called us to the same. We are to be men and women who are the same on Sunday as we are throughout the week. We're to be leading our families well. We're to be married correctly before God and what His Word tells us. We need to be faithful to our spouses. When we go through testing in our life, God is expecting and wanting us to come out blameless on the other side, not having turned against Him, but doing what He's called us to do and giving Him glory. We need to be holding faithfully to the mystery of the faith and sharing it with a good conscience. We don't need to be greedy for money. We don't need to be drinking a lot of wine. We don't need to be hypocritical people. We need to be worthy of respect, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit, men and women of good reputation. God has called all of us to live righteously and correctly before Him. He has an expectation for us to live correctly before Him. And our deacons embody that at our church. They are men that we select who meet these criteria, and we ask them to help us in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of being the hands and the feet that help, that go and help our widows, our orphans, those that need assistance. That is what God has called our deacons to do, to help in the ministry.